never know.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
All for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel
we'll
in
put
there.
Out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention. Attention.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Pat Jones
Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
And yes, yes, this is something completely different. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Show coming to you live Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time. From the belly button of California, dead center right here in the middle. I guess we're in the middle. I have to look at a map to be certain. But just outside the gates of Sequoia National Park, from a little burg, a little town, a little commonwealth we like to call Cahuilla, California. I come to you daily for 2 hours on the Dutch Jones radio program through U Broadcast. You can get us on dutchjones.tk. There's all kinds of places to hear us. And then the second hour, except for Tuesdays, because I got like some kind of militia cooking show or something on Liberty Tree Radio, which is libertytreeradio.4mg.com. And then there are so many other outlets. People are recording my shows and sending them all over the place. We found out that some of our shows have been downloaded over 800 times. I don't think that's for evidentiary purposes. They usually just do it once or twice. There aren't that many alphabet agencies that would need copies of my show. Well, of course, it's probably a good example of government inefficiency. They download it every time they need it. But you can get the downloads if you want to go to our archive, which is put up by Olima, friend of the show. And if you go to dutchjones.tk, and you can see a little, what would that be, a title that says, what do you call it? Listen to other shows. What is it called? Past shows here, Lou labeled it. You click on that, and you can download older shows. You can trade them, swap them. We got a guy who puts them up on eBay and sells them for 99 cents. He's got my permission to do that. You can take my shows in their entirety and do what you want. Don't cut them up. Don't chop them up. That's what weasels do. And then play them on YouTube with a funny voice. Yes, that's right, Nicholas. I'm talking to you, and I know you're still recording them. I have spies. Anyway, this is Dutch Jones. We bring you the militant Christian worldview, something that you don't get just about everywhere else, anywhere else. In fact, I was just on a new militia forum, and I recommend it to you, and I'm going to have some fun there bringing them the Christian worldview portion of the cause, and it's the well-regulated American militia. Google that. I don't know the URL. It's the well-regulated American militia. If you're listening on Facebook, it's like the second or third thing that I have up. And it's really cool. The reason I like it is it's broken down state by state, and then they have general forums. So I popped into the California one, and I saw some people I actually knew in there from the early 90s in the movement. And right now, and kind of what we're going to talk about today, is the general panic of the sheep in the population. It seems like everybody wants to be part of a militia now. Before, they hated us. They didn't want to talk about us. M-word, ugh. They believed all the lies. Now you've got people sending me emails from all over the place. Oh, I'm recently awakened. I have nothing. I have nothing to offer, but I want to join a militia. Well, that's not a really good plan now, is it there, Wallflower? I don't know if a lot of militias are taking new people. Oh, I'm getting a comment here. I'm kind of the acting recruiter for our church / emergency preparedness / militia group. And we do what we can do, and we still take new people, but we have a really cool filter called our church, and we need to find out if people are part of the holy cause of liberty or not. So we offer training to the public. They come up, they go to fellowship with us for church, they have a chow with us, then they train with us. I just got a comment here from a listener. As much as I love to train and educate myself about being in a militia, I have to restrain myself due to living in a police state. I am a thought criminal, and every goon with a I think he says badge these days, are 100% ignorant of the Constitution because they enforce unconstitutional laws. That's from Tim, our listener. That's absolutely true. Some states are more of a police state than others. I live in California, and we still practice Second Amendment rights. We are curbed by what fangs we can put into our, you know, into use. And I do understand that. And some people think we're fools for living here, but we fight. This is where God put the list of brothers and sisters that are on the roll call here, and we continue to fight because that's where we're at. But I can only think of two places that would probably be worse. That would be the District of Columbia, you know, where the corporate evil lives, or probably Massachusetts would probably be the only other two places that are worse to live than California when it comes to them violating our rights. And the reality is, and I like Tim's wisdom here, the logic of it, we get people all the time that say, yeah, but that's against the law. They can't do that. The law, that doesn't keep them from kicking your door in the middle of the night and shooting your daughter in the face. It doesn't. What does keep them from doing that is you being as wise as a serpent and not letting people know that you're violating their unconstitutional laws. So many people in the militia movement want to brag about what they got. So if you're living underground behind enemy lines, I completely understand being on the QT, covert, be more like the French underground than the militia at Lexington and Concord. I understand that, Tim. That's a great comment. And he's responding because I had posted this well-regulated militia site. Yeah, you have to be careful. Don't be stupid. If you are a felon, now we all know that the not allowing felons, once they've done their time and paid their debt, to not allow them to have firearms is unconstitutional and ungodly. But if you are a felon and you're taking a road trip, it's just wise to obey that rule. Why hand them an indictment? They have enough trouble making stuff up, you know, and they do. Why just go ahead and throw a handgun in your carry-on luggage like some people do? Why make it a point to go, oh, I'm standing up for my God-given right to carry a gun as you flaunt your prison record out there, too? You've got to find a different role to play in the militia if that's your cause. Now, one of the things that I saw recently is a lot of militias aren't letting people in because of several things. Some are basing it on race, and I think that's a no-win scenario right there. I don't think you're going to be blessed by the Lord if you've got a racially oriented militia. It's unconstitutional. It's not how the it's unbiblical. It's not how the original militias in the Bible were formed. I mean, sure, they were done tribe by tribe, but if you go to the 1770s, there were black men serving in the militias. I mean, that was probably the only other race here. There were actually a few Jews that served in the militias. There were actually some synagogues around then. But we're a Christian militia. We prefer to have Christian men and women be part of our militia, but do we train with non-Christians? Yeah. And it's more them being prejudiced against us that they don't actually join. They love to train with us, but they won't go to church with us. And that's why we made up this recent rule: if you don't fellowship with us, you don't train with us. And we've got Seventh-day Adventists, Mormons, and some people may go, oh, you know, Seventh-day Adventists and Mormons, you know, those aren't Christians. What are you doing? Well, we're going to let God decide that issue while we're down here fighting out this issue for the holy cause of liberty. But a lot of militias are limiting themselves and making it harder for people to get in. The other thing is gender. I see a lot of women complaining that nobody's letting them train. Well, we train our women. They can take the same exact classes we take. Now, in an actual all-out shooting thing, we may not put the women on the front line because it's not biblical. And a lot of guys are going to bring up Israel. Well, I don't think Israel is biblical either, but, you know, that'll get the cards and letters going. But they still need to know how to defend the home front if we're, you know, down in the streets or in a county away, right? You don't leave your family untrained and unprepared. That's ungodly. Lou's over there just staring at me. Are you awake, Lou? Yes, I'm awake. I didn't let him nap today. That was mean. I got him up early because he has to get up tomorrow morning. Pastor's picking him up at 6:15 to take him to the pistol class. So he's going to be up all night making sure he's got all his gear together and everything for this one-day training up at DFT tomorrow. Are you going to that? I couldn't remember if you were studio audience. I remember here. So he's got to leave here. So make sure you're ready to go. You go to sleep. You go to sleep right after the show. I'll put your bag together. I'll make you some peanut butter and jelly bean sandwiches or whatever. Well, you're gonna rough it then. That's completely beyond the point. You're gonna get peanut butter and jelly bean sandwiches. Yeah, two of them. And I'm gonna take a bite out of each of them before I put them in the bag. So, but if you're looking for a militia, you're going to have to sacrifice some of your, I don't know, personal security. You're going to have to say, well, I'm going to have to actually show up with some of my gear at a meeting. We have people, not this, I think it was last year's conference, we had a bunch of people from California, California militia types. Oh, we can't wait to get there. We can't wait to get there. And one guy made this comment. Sure sounds like a great place to round people up. Have you? We've been doing it for a decade and a half. It was our 14th year. We've had every major leader from the American militia movement, short of Mark Kornke, come in here. Trockman, Greitz. We've had them all here. They've come through here. They've spoken here. They've done stuff here. There's never been one single roundup at our location where, you know, FBI's come by. They've flown a few helicopters over we couldn't identify, but there's no way to know who really they are. Sheriff drove up and said, hey, how's it going? We said, you want to join us? And he said, no, he'd get in trouble, and he left. That's the deputy, technically, not the sheriff. So, but somebody put on a board, oh, this could happen. And, like, they all chickened out. And funny, the only ones that did show up were two women who came up from the coast, from Southern California Martial Law Alerts, which I respect them greatly. They showed up. They didn't let fear lead their lives. We've had people leave this church in the last 6 months because they said, oh, we're afraid. We're afraid people are going to find out we're part of a militia church. And then I work for the county, and I could lose my pothole job where I fill potholes for the rest of my life and get overpaid. It's sad that you let fear run your life. And that's what's happening on both sides of it. Militias aren't letting new people in because of what happened with the Hutari thing and other little things that have probably been happening we don't even know about, people getting picked up and harassed. But we can't let fear run our lives, either as militias. I'm a recruiter. Here's what my job is. My pastor has tasked me with this. Technology, use it as an outreach. Lou does the internet. I do the radio station that we have. We have an FM radio station. I do flyers. I do whatever. I'm trying to find Christian individuals and families to move into our location, into our area, find jobs, settle here, and we create a Christian covenant community. It's what happens. People have been coming and going here since the, what, early 60s? Yeah, it's like 63, 64. It's tough because there's not a lot of jobs up here, but that's my job. And I brought a few people in. Some people need to go and move on in their lives. That happens. But there is a calling. I try and find people to train with us in the militia, and I've been pretty good at that. But I can tell you there's about a 70% rate that once they find out what's at stake, they chicken out. And of the 30% that stay or stick around the area, you know, they're pretty good. And we enjoy it. These conferences we do up here are hardcore. And people come to those, and they get scared. They're like, I can't believe pastors are saying this about our own the government, the New World Order. They're not sticking with the preachy, touchy, feely, fill the, what do they call them, pews kind of verbiage that I get at my home church. And then sadly, I get the other one where people, you know, they count their pennies, cash in their aluminum cans, trek across the United States, come here for a weekend or two to stay with us, but then they have to go back to their families and stuff, and they'd love to be here, but they can't because they have deep roots in the community they're in. So if you're interested in something like that, contact me. Reach out to us. You know, come to church here a few times. Come to our conference. That's a great thing to do. Come visit the Sequoia National Park with your family. Set your little RV out here on our football field, you know, and hang out with us for a while. You may go, hey, these guys, they just, you know, they're too heavy into the Bible. We're not into that. And that's fine. Be honest about it. But don't be a puke and just run away and not tell us. We've had people, in fact, in the last couple of weeks, we've had a guy that just said, you know what? You need to go somewhere else. You need to start looking for somebody else. You just don't fit in here. You're not getting it. There's no depth to you. You're very shallow. You need to grow up a little bit. Those kind of things. You know, it wasn't all on one person, I'm telling you. In the past year, we've seen that too. We've cut ties with other people. But this cause that's happening right now, this time in space and time that Jesus Christ has put us all together with this world tyranny, because it's not just in America. This may be it. And if you keep dragging your feet, both as a militia or as an aware survivalist individual, whatever your drive is, it may be too late. I got people calling me who said, how do I get a firearm? What? And there are people that 2 years ago were making fun of me on the radio show as Christians, saying, why would you ever need a gun? God will save you if you're supposed to be saved. And I'm like, well, I don't know how you're going to get a firearm. Go bow down to your local laws and go through the DROZ system and get a firearm at Big Five. I don't have a gun for you. I'm sorry. You know, it's just like Jesus. I did not know you. You didn't know me. I didn't know you. You're gone. People always ask me, what are you going to say when you die and you're judged? I'm just going to point to Jesus and go, hey, I'm with him. With all my flaws and all my quirks, I still follow him. So these same people are doing kind of the reverse of that now. They're like calling their pastor and saying, okay, I know you were right. What do I do now? And he's like, pray, because that's all you got left to do. Unless you can put together, and that's the other thing you can do, get your kin, your family, people that you can trust, and even then, who knows, and put together your own little survival group and militia group. And go to these forums. You may not want to join them because you're afraid of throwing up a red flag, but you can learn stuff. Listen to shows like mine. Stick with Liberty Tree Radio and listen to them around the clock. I know you can't physically do that. Download the shows. You got a lot of downtime. Americans have got, you know, all this time. They're in their cars, especially those of you that are commuting an hour to work and an hour back. Download them and listen to them in your iPod or pop it into the DVD, CD player, you know, surround sound system you have in your cars these days. Are you falling asleep while you're looking at me, Lou? You were doing this, Lou. You're like, while you were staring at me, you were falling asleep. Okay, studio audience, every time I nod at you, slap them in the back of the head. There's people sitting behind them today. Just slap them in the back of the head. You're going to learn to stay awake on guard duty. I don't know. You know, he went to bed last night about 10:30, and I woke him up at 6 just to be mean. He's got to get up at 5 tomorrow. You're going to shower, too. I don't want to put the pastor through an hour and 20-minute drive with you smelling like that on the way up there. So you're going to shower tonight. You're going to have to brush your teeth. If you can find, you know, we got you a new toothbrush. We'll give you milk bone. That's good for the teeth, too. But anyway, folks, that's what we're doing. We're gonna have a little few more breaks than normal today because if you can tell, my voice is wearing out. And I'm going to check some articles here and give you some updated news of stuff I've been waiting on. So as Lou rolls in the music as soon as he can, let me know when you can do that, Lou. The phone number to call in is 559-561-8225. 559-561-8225. Check out djstore.tk if he doesn't play the commercial on this break. We're selling some stuff. We're picking up. Thank you. We'll be right back.
Every man must stand behind the men behind the wire. Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons. But every man must stand behind the men behind the wire. In the little streets of Belfast, in the dark of early morn, British soldiers came running, breaking little homes away scorned. Hear the sobs of crying children, dragging fathers from their bed. Watch the scene as helpless mothers, watch the blood fall from their heads. Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons. But every man must stand behind the men behind the wire. Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons. But every man must stand behind the men behind the wire.
Not for them a judge or jury, or indeed a crime at all. Being Irish means they're guilty, so they're guilty one and all. Round the world a truth will echo, Cromwell's men are here again. England's name again is sullied in the eyes of honest men.
Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons. But every man must stand behind the men behind the wire. Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons. But every man must stand behind the men behind the wire.
Proudly march behind our banner, proudly march behind our men. We will have them free to help us build a nation once again. On the people, stand together, proudly march on your way. Never fear and never falter, till the boys come home to stay.
Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons. But every man must stand behind the men behind the wire. Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons. But every man must stand behind the men behind the wire.
Admiral Stockdale, your opening statement, please, sir.
Who am I? Why am I here?
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Okay, we're back, and Lou's trying to stop some feedback here before I start squealing. Did that one time, and it made everybody down the line go, "What was that?" That was my brain eraser tone. I had some requests for what the other day, if you were listening, I think it was Monday, right outside our big window here, I saw cops and activity less than a quarter mile away at one of our swimming holes, and some youth had tried to mug a local, and some updates on that. One of the things was, it took 45 minutes for the sheriff deputy to get here, and the people, and I was glad to find this out, there's a doctor that lives there, there were a couple other people, they heard his cries for help, and they're the ones that came out and assisted him. He had to hold on, forcibly use a, you know, those wife beater t-shirts that the little Mexican gangbangers wear? He had to take that and twist it up into a knot to hold one of the guys on the ground with it. So by the time the cops got there, his hand was numb, and the rest of them were being held by, you know, other people in the area. 45 minutes. And when they were putting the individuals back into the police car, or their parents came and got them, whatever it was, they were making death threats against the individual. "We're going to come up and get you. We're going to come up and get you." And the police chief, the deputy sheriff was like, "Why are you making terrorist threats?" And what amazes me is the attitude of these kids. They can do whatever they want. I don't even know if they were under 18 or not, but what good is having law enforcement? Why are we paying property taxes 45 minutes? Had it been me, anybody who's ever seen the movie Secondhand Lions, when they're sitting in the diner and the four hoodle dudes come in, the little guys in leather jackets, and they're trying to take their food from them, and the guy who played, I can never remember actors, Robert Duvall just stands up and he just beats four of them senseless. Beats four of them senseless, and then takes them home and teaches them a little lesson on respect. Why can't we do that anymore? Why do we have to call the cops and do that kind of stuff? Are the character of the youth beyond that? But it would have been interesting, you know, just to beat the crap out of these kids and then bring them into the church and sit down and give them a lesson, and then call their parents and make them come and get them. But then they're making terrorist threats and all that kind of stupid stuff. But the good news is, because they're on the record, if somebody makes a terrorist threat and they show up at your house again, you have to assume they're there for no good and deadly force. And in an open carry county like ours, it makes it a little easier to explain to, you know, 45 minutes later when the sheriff gets there, if you choose to call him, "Yeah, I had to shoot these four kids because they were breaking into my house. And you were there last time they told me, you know, hey. We're going to kill that guy for calling the cops on us." Sad. Sad but true. Hey, I know Liberty Tree Radio folks are listening because I'm getting comments on my Facebook. Anytime you can, go to Facebook, look us up, Dutch Jones, and then you'll see them posting Liberty Tree Radio. Add them to your friends list, too. I know a lot of you don't like the Facebook thing, but I use it simply for this. I've got about 500... Oh, I hit 500 friends today. I don't know who all of them are. About... once or twice a week, I go through and cull out, you know, things that I think are diametrically opposed to the way we believe and what we believe and those types of things. And I like to use it to post news articles and stuff and kind of prep the listener to get them ready. Let's see, what do I got here? I don't know if this is for distribution. I'm getting email while I'm live on the air from... okay... I don't think this is for distribution. It's about active... let's just say that the border in Arizona has gone hot. I don't want to release this without verifying it. Let's see. I bet he's in there. I just got your email. Are you in there? Yeah, I just got your email, and I don't know if that's for distribution or not. That looks like some pretty interesting stuff to talk about, but I don't want to release it if our friends in the ACM aren't cool with it. That's fine. Batfix says, the militias do not let new folks in. They're going to go the way of the Shakers. Yeah, remember them? The Shakers, it was a religious cult, and same as the Luddites. But the Shakers said no more sex, not even in marriage. It was ungodly to have babies, and they disappeared. So if you're not recruiting, getting back to what I was saying, recruiting, there's you're not going to grow. And if you don't think you have a need for a militia, because I can tell you, of the people that responded to this guy that got mugged on the bridge, two of them were in our militia. Two of them were. And, you know, the rest were just people that live in the neighborhood. But that was great. I was glad to find out that a bunch of our people did respond. I felt I didn't want to leave the radio show. And, you know, I could just see it, or, you know, something was going on, but I couldn't tell what it was. But the need for militias, the need for joining together and doing what we can is more important today than it has ever been. I think not since the American Revolution or the War of Federal Aggression has it been more important. Okay, we can talk about it. Okay, I'm going to go back to mine here. This is going to be a cold read, but it looks like good information. Could this be the next shot heard around the world? I don't know. The title is, We Will Live to Fight Again. Join the Arizona Citizens Militia. Comments by Arizona Citizen Militia 6 hours ago. Okay, guys, here's the latest. As you probably know by now, ACM forces engaged the enemy on the Arizona border at approximately 0545 hours, Tuesday the 13th of 2010. Six enemy in uniform carrying AKs and SKS-type rifles. Two enemy KIA were confirmed. The rest fled, carrying an unknown number of wounded in action. There were no friendly casualties. After the action, our Pima County commander had his guys hunker down until after dark, when they then left the area. Since the first report, he has reported to me that he and his boys were able to successfully exfil that night and are all home safe. Tell everyone to sharpen their knives, but don't start heading to Pima County just yet. This was a small unit action, nothing more. We are still going to the border in force this fall for Operation Defiant Sentinel. As a result of this latest action, however, we can expect the feces to impact the oscillating ventilator. I've always liked oscillating cooling device because it's not really there to ventilate you. In short order, the Zetas had already let it be known that they were going to start indiscriminately killing any Americans they found in the desert. Our Pima County commander heard about that and has put some Zetas in the dirt first. I don't expect that the Zetas will be too terribly happy about it. Well, that's some pretty serious stuff right there. Hopefully this can be verified. It's amazing to me that this, you know, hasn't, it's been going on. This isn't the first time I've heard something like this. I've been doing this since the early 90s, and this is not the first firefight between American civilians trying to defend their property. Interesting. When we come back, we'll talk about that. It'd be nice if we get somebody to call in who was actually on the ground involved in that action. You know, we'll keep them their anonymity. And I'd like to know what the authorities think about it. We'll be back after this break.
For all of you liberals who believe your ways are best, who don't mind overcrowding this nation with a swarm of foreign immigrants, who don't care about the population, who don't care if it's about...
It is time to organize. It's a time of war, and it's time to revolt, and it's your time to show we are a people of a struggle. Hasta San Diego.
We got crime overtaking our cities. We got gangs taking over our streets. We keep handing out more and more welfare, though it never seems to meet their needs. What kind of culture are we cultivating? One where you never have to pull any weeds. If we don't stop this immigration, this great nation's gonna fall. Let's get a grip on immigration in the great United States.
You have to enforce that with all.
It's high time
to
get away from there. No.
Too many whites came. We couldn't stop you. Too many blue eyes.
We are rapidly becoming another third world fascist state. Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States.
Mm-hmm.
any solution.
Going to take over all the political institutions of California. In 5 years, the Hispanics are going to be the majority population of the state.
You also made the statement that California is going to become a Hispanic state, and that if anyone doesn't like it, they should leave. Did you say that?
I did. They ought to go back to Europe.
Now you know it's not too late.
Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time we start closing that gate. And quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist. And quit trying to fabricate that I hate. And get a grip on immigration in these great United States. Let's get a grip on immigration. Now you know it's not too late. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time that we close up that gate. Can't you see how we are rapidly becoming another third world fascist police? Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. And quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist. And quit trying to fabricate that I hate. And get a grip on immigration in these great
seems to be the trouble, soldier. You look a little bit worried.
Well, I am, Chaplain. Just a little bit.
Actually, there's no need to be worried, as the Army has taken all of the necessary precautions to see that we're perfectly safe here.
Sir, have you ever been out of one of these shops before?
Yes, I've had the opportunity to see a number of the atomic tests. I feel that as a chaplain, it is my responsibility to be with my men.
What's it like, Chaplain?
First of all, one sees a very, very bright light, followed by a shock wave, and then you hear the sound of the blast, and then it seems as though there's a minor earthquake. And then you look up and you see the fireball as it ascends up into the heaven. It's a wonderful sight to behold.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points full of them. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for...
That's Jehu's
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Who's waiting on that speaker to be plugged in? What, do you forget that you got to plug the speaker in so we don't get like outrageous feedback? That whirring sound in the back is our oscillating cooling devices. It's just too hot up here. I know it's over 100. And it's just nasty. And I spent... the day because we spent the last 2 days moving, so I spent the day just sitting inside doing things I needed to do with the water cooler on the swamp cooler. And walking out here, it's just, it's like, ugh, it's like getting punched in the face. I'm trying to figure out a way to post some stuff on Facebook that I talk about here, but I don't know. I just keep saying it's too long. That's the one thing I don't like about Facebook. And I don't know, I'm not on MySpace much anymore, and I apologize to you guys that are over there listening, because I know there are a few of you. But I found that Facebook is just so much better, except for this one thing. You can't post really huge, long messages. They limit you to like 440 or something characters. So I'm going through here, and you start to change what comments you want to make and stuff based on that. And so I'm editing a post that I just made so that it'll fit, so that people will see it. Interesting. Let's see if it works. Let's see if it's going. See if I made it short enough and used abbreviations and changed words. And then, of course, it adds huge gaps in it. Anyway, but this is the Dutch Jones radio program. We're coming to you live from... I got to turn that down a little bit. Sorry, that was probably way too loud. From the Church of Cahuilla here in Central California. We come to you every day, Monday through Friday, but not tomorrow. I want to let you guys know that it's going to be... We'll just repeat this show tomorrow. I've got to go to the VA to see if I can stop walking with this big ski boot on. I actually walked around today for a couple hours with it off and didn't bother taking all the meds and everything for it, and it feels okay. I'm sure a boot would give me just as much stability as this thing does, you know, a laced-up desert combat boot. So I would much rather do that than worry about, you know, having to lug this thing around. I'm going to get hurt. We have uneven ground here. We're in the mountains and walking around, and it is just terrible. Hey, I'm getting information here that they finally stopped the oil leaking from the Gulf. Woohoo! Yay! You know why they did it? Obongo's approval rating was just, it dropped below a certain acceptable point. So he said, okay, turn it off. We've polluted enough. We've put enough bad marks against the oil production in the Gulf. You know, we can stop now. Boy, I mean, and I apologize to you guys for not talking much about this issue, but I, for one, it's just another one of those disasters that they put out there to distract us with. It's terrible. All the people are going to, you know, be poisoned from it. All the animals that are going to die. The industries are going to be destroyed. I feel for it. I really do. But I can't add anything to it. I don't have any extra insight. I just got this across. They're saying that they finally shut it off. I have a feeling they probably could have done this the whole time, because if you look at what they used, it was an ordinary cap that they used during the Gulf War, the first Gulf War. When they went through to shut all the caps, it's just a big pipe with a bunch of valves on it. Each one reduces a little more, you know, slowing and restricting the flow. You don't have just one giant valve and try and turn it off. But they dragged their feet on it. They went to, you know, an old-style Red Adair technique. It just reeks of conspiracy, so it's not even worth my time. And then also, Congress passes the stiff financial reform bill. I guess a couple of your Republicrats, those of you that still worship the two-party system and go, ooh, conservative Republicans is the only way. We're going to vote everybody. You know, we're going to vote Republican, and we're all going to feel good about ourselves. Well, they put it through. So more robbing, more violation of rights, more intrusion by the federal government. What are you doing this for? You're doing like the prom lady wave. Oh, you're just waving your hand in front of the fan? Dude, you got to clip your fingernails. Are you playing flamenco guitar or something? You got like claws over there. Did you clean underneath them? And don't tell me you can't find the toenail clippers. I put three of them in the bathroom. What do you do with those? Do you, like, scour the earth for grubs or something at night? What is up with those fingernails? Are you using them as weapons? Is that what you're going to say? Defending yourself against creatures of the night? I think my son's a werewolf here. It's kind of weird looking. Tonight you clip them. I don't want you clawing anybody tomorrow. Yeah, you make the move of me. I'll put you in another arm bar. Hey, what was the new fighting system that you showed me, the SS Split Second Survival? I don't know. I can't remember the website. Is it splitsecondsurvival.com? Yeah. Check it out. This guy from Alaska, he looks like a Chuck Norris wannabe, and at first I wasn't impressed, but after watching two of the videos for disarming and killing your enemy when he comes at you with a pistol, knife, or long gun or shotgun, I actually liked his logic. He's like, goes, you know, don't get into all these movie moves and muscle memory, remembering everything. He says the whole point is avoid the weapon, kill the head. That's pretty much it.
If you think you're going to do a lock, it's not worth it.
Yeah, and he keeps insulting everybody that does all these fancy moves all
he
the
goes,
time.
No offense to anyone.
No offense to anyone, but you guys are idiots. Anybody who thinks you're going to do this, because he has like this gigantic logger-looking dude, and he goes, I can't get this shotgun away from him, and he's trying to get it away from him. He goes, no, but just avoid the weapon and move in on the head and kill the guy. You know, and then in the second one, he's like, but, you know, if you don't want to get sued, don't kill the guy. Just run away, which I liked. Like I told Lou, I've told him this since the beginning. Guy pulls a knife. If I can get away, I'm getting away. Okay. And he says, well, what if you got a gun? I said, if he's already got the knife out, I'm not going to present my weapon fast enough. You know, so we do practice the disarmament stuff, but this split-second survival guy from Alaska, the video's easy to watch. It's common sense, you know, no heavy graphics showing you how to do it or anything, and there's not like 19 moves to everything. It's like, avoid the muzzle, don't even look at the weapon, step aside, crush his jaw with the stock of the rifle, and then, you know, use him as a shield and kill the other guys. Yeah, you don't have to spend 19 years perfecting like three moves or something, you know, that and it's pretty good. So split second survival, put it in the chat room for people to check out. I thought I put it out on Facebook. Okay, so let's see what else we got here. Oh, they're predicting another 1 million homes are going to foreclose in the next 12 months. Next 6 months. That's even worse. 1 million homes. See, we haven't seen the worst of this financial-created calamity yet. And all you people that are waiting around, you're trying to... I know people are still thinking about buying a house. You know, they're talking about buying their first home and stuff, and I'm just like, man, why do you want to be tied to that? Why, you know, like, well, it's a great place to take my FRNs and convert them into a tangible good. Are you going to carry that house on your back? Are you going to be able to sell that house when the city around you rots and burns? Oh, yeah, come move into my house and try and sell it for twice what you got it for? No. You're going to buy a house for $500,000, and when the collapse comes, it's going to be worth $5. Or they're just not going to be worth anything. They're just going to take it over and push you out of it and put some Chinese officer in there. So we haven't seen the worst of it yet. Argentina legalizes gay marriage with a historical law passage. Well, of course, you know, Argentina. Isn't that where all the whacked out Nazi Germans went after the war? You know, so it's kind of weird. So much for the super race, right? And the other stuff I've got in the news, it's all local. But I did see that somebody tried to blackmail John Stamos. John Stamos. Isn't he the guy from... Who is he? John Stamos. Isn't he from, like, some sitcom in the 90s? You know, they had some pictures of him, I guess, at a strip club or something, snorting coke, and they wanted $680,000. Where do you come up with a number like that? We're going to blackmail a C-rated television star, not even a movie star. Maybe he's been in some movies. And we want $680,000, and we want it all in small bills, and... It's just ridiculous. I don't even think a guy like John Stamos would have $680,000. Unless he has his own line of, like, Slurpees or weight control, you know, weight loss diet stuff. I don't even know, you know, anymore if they do that. But where's the story here on the oil leak? The waiting period begins, they say. They're going to wait to see if this thing just blows apart. Because there's, you know, it's not just the oil, it's the methane and all that kind of stuff. And, so we'll see. We'll see. When they needed to distract you some more. Oh, there were two bombs that went off in Iran at a mosque. I think it's funny when Muslim terrorists bomb other Muslims, right? And people are laughing. How can you say that's funny? Well, I'm sorry, but you got the Shia and the Sunni that hate each other, and they're blowing up each other's mosques. You know, kind of like what you had in Somalia and Uganda. You know, Uganda, aren't they Muslim too? So, you know, let them fight each other. The enemy of my enemy is still my enemy, and let them be enemies to one another. You know, I don't get into that whole the enemy of my enemy is my friend thing, because as soon as you defeat the one enemy, they're going to pick their stuff up off the battlefield and use it against you. Look at Russia. I mean, this whole, oh, we'll make a treaty with Russia to take over Germany, and then it ended up, you know, creating a Cold War and unknown millions of killed because we allowed Russia to maintain its world-class, you know, world power status. We're always betraying the little people, aren't we? Okay, let's see here. They're saying that this new cap could blow a leak, the relief of millions of people along the Gulf Coast. Why? The oil's still going to sit out there. It's not just going to disappear because they put a cap on the supply. That's like saying, oh, good, you know, my toilet stopped overflowing, but you still have a house full of sewage. You know, somebody's still going to clean it up, and they don't have the technology to do it. And anybody that says they do is lying. You don't think so? Go to the Exxon Valdez site of that incident. I just saw a documentary about 3 months ago, funny on the timing, how they went there today and the fish populations are still devastated, the industry is still devastated. They still haven't paid out the money they said they were going to, and all you people get your hand out to BP. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen. We're not going to see any of the money. Heck, we've got a cleanup going on over here in Kettleman City. Babies are being born with like two faces and dead, being born dead. And they went back in and said, oh, guess what? There's still chromium 6 in the water here. I mean, years ago they resolved that. They don't clean it all up. They just paint the rocks to look normal, and they put down plastic in then put dirt on top of it, and eventually it all leaches through. They never clean up these areas. Ask people in Love Canal if Hooker Chemical ever really cleaned up that area. You know? They're going to lie to you. They're going to poison us with just the food they give us. They're going to poison us with chemicals. They don't care about us. We're worse than worker bees. We're like cattle to them. So if you think BP is going to make good by this, and, oh, if we just elect a bunch of Republicans in the next election, hey, maybe they'll fix the Gulf, and I'll be able to go out there and fish for shrimp. I always do a Canadian thing. I don't know why. I can't do a Cajun. Ever since the movie Deliverance, I don't want to do anything, remotely. I guess that was not Deliverance. Which one was the Cajun one? There was one about the National Guard down there. I can't remember the name of it.
Don't know.
And Lou doesn't know. I don't let him watch that kind of stuff. But they're not going to clean that up. The fish for years, the mercury in the tuna wasn't killing us fast enough, so they had to put put benzene in everything that comes out of the Gulf. That's why I don't eat seafood. People think it's Old Testament. No, I just don't eat seafood because I know what they're dumping in the ocean. It's the cycle of life. Mercury, uranium, plutonium, all kinds of stuff. I don't even know what I'm talking about, but you get the deal. You know what I mean. Iodine everywhere. So why should I, I'm not going to eat that stuff. I don't even know what it tastes like, and I don't want to know. It's bad enough the stuff they're putting in the cows that I devour. But people were going to keep, talking about, if we had just elected McCain, this wouldn't have happened. We wouldn't be in this boat. Everything would be good and hunky-dory. No, 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 no. Yeah, I like that TV's never lied to me before. Lou thinks the TV is real. He thinks there's tiny people and they're doing stage plays for him. Yeah. Hey, what is this? Kinda White 05? Somebody's username, Kinda White. That's kind of funny. I wonder, is this Stand with the White Man or something like that? So I've been getting emails from somebody. I think it was like Stand with White Man or Stand with the Whites or something. I thought that was kind of a funny one too. Kinda White 05. Welcome to the Dutch Jones radio program. Yeah, Bat Fag, I'm going to go turn on American Idol now and be distracted. Because, the oil thing's solved. Everything's fine now. And you see they're going to pour a ton of money into electric cars now? People don't realize that how we make our electricity in America is mostly coal-generated. The amount of carbon put in by all these hippies that are going to buy electric cars is going to exceed anything I do with my Toyotas. Because everybody's going to go plug it in at night. Because they're all going to have day jobs and all these, huge Metroplex future FEMA camps. And they're going to plug in their electric car onto 220, because I think most of them are 220. If I'm wrong, correct me. And all the lights are going to dim. The same time everybody's going to be doing their laundry, cooking dinner. The Tesla car rollout thing, everybody's going to plug those in. And it's going to put such a demand on the grid that I bet a lot of things fail. Plus the amount of carbon that they'll have to, because they're not going to let us build nuclear plants. It'd be great if every community had its own little refrigerator-size Mitsubishi nuclear electric power generator, which they have. And when, people could plug that in, or if people put up solar panels, but they're not going to do that. Oh, half Asian, okay. It's a funny story behind the name. I'm half Asian. Is this the same person that's emailing me on Dutch Jones' show? I just think that'd be funny if it's the same guy, because the other guy's Asian too. And his email is like Stands with the White Man or something. I get a few emails. He actually lives in our area. Batfag saying the grid is supposedly outdated and under capacity. Yeah. I mean, they can't keep stuff now. Oh, okay, cool. So I got two half Asian, half white guys listening. Woo, we're multiracial. That's going to lose me all the Nazi listeners I gained a couple months ago when I was talking about their issues. So that's good. Maybe that'll help get rid of them. Well, I'm glad you found the show. Oh, female, too. Well, we got a guy. I think he's married, though. I think he's half Filipino, half something. But welcome to the show. We like all kinds. We're all one race, one blood, one Jesus Christ, you know, all made in his image, right? Anyone want to buy a ninja sword? Are you still selling ninja swords, or is that the one bat fag that the maniac tried to buy? Because, I mean, you should put that into it. It would have more value if a maniac tried to buy a ninja sword from you. Put it on eBay. By the way, we put stuff on eBay again. We've got some water filters up. Seems like we're going in strange cycles. Now we're not selling any water filters, but we sold six Israeli gas masks. So, he did promote it as the one the wacko wanted. That's cool. Cool, bat fag. Hey, I had an M1 carbine that was on consignment in a gun shop, and somebody stole it and then used it in a... he actually got into a shootout with a police officer. They were like nose-to-nose. He rammed his car into the police car, and they both stood up. Cop emptied his 14-round Glock, and he emptied a 20-round mag, and the cop and the suspect didn't hit each other. So I had the article. It took me like 3 months to get the rifle back, and it came back with super glue on it and because they were fingerprinting it and stuff. And I just put it in a case, put the news articles, whatever I had, and I took it and I sold it for like twice what it was worth. This is back in like 1990, I think it was. No, it was sooner, it was earlier. Yeah, 1990. So it was great, you know. But it was funny because I was like, making fun of the cop, and it was a skinhead from Colorado who did it. But that they were that close, nose to nose. One guy had an M1 carbine with a 20-round mag. Cop had 14 rounds. They didn't even hit each other. So I always wonder what happened to that gun. It's on somebody's wall right now. If you bought it at the gun show, I don't even remember who or what I sold it to, but it was the Loveland Fair. It was the Larimer County Fairgrounds gun show. It was in the summertime, I believe, that I sold that gun. And I had a teacher tell me about it. I came to school when I was going to college. I was in the reserve or National Guard, and I was going to college. And I told him, hey, I get the. He goes, man, that makes the gun worth more, because he was a gun dealer. It's like, really? Well, who'd want this gun now? It's all sticky. And with super glue and stuff all over. And he said, no, don't clean it up. Don't touch anything. Sell it as a gun that was used in an idiotic crime. They ran a car through the front of the gun store. It was a big old station wagon. They backed it through and then just started grabbing guns. And my gun was on the consignment rack, which was right there. And he grabbed it. I remember can't remember the manufacturer on it. It wasn't anything famous either. It was like just a cheap little crappy, it wasn't like an IBM or a John Deere M1 carbine. It's one of only two I owned, and I never shot that one. I bought it at a gun show simply to actually got it in trade, and I just wanted to see if I get some money out of it. When I went to college, the Army paid my way, and I had one part-time job working at the movie theaters. If you got anyone listening in Fort Collins, Colorado, I was a projectionist there, and I made like $9 an hour, worked like 6 hours a week, but I made the rest of my money buying and selling guns because back then you could do that as a private collector. You didn't need a license. You could just go. I could walk into a gun show in Larimer County at the fairgrounds with like half a dozen guns and come out with two dozen guns, and keep the ones I want and sell the other ones in the parking lot the next gun show, whatever. And we never ran out of money. We never didn't make the rent. So that's good. Did you make birds flying with your hands in a projection room? Actually, yeah. We used to do that all the time. I've done anything that you can imagine that could be done with one of those giant projectors. We've done it. Run the films backwards just for fun. Run them upside down. We used to have parties in there, like when a film was coming out. Say, like Dances with Wolves. I can't even think of any of the movies that came out at the time. Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, maybe? I'm trying to remember any of the movies that came out at the time. But I would just call all my friends because as a projectionist, I had to view the movie. Part of my job was to put the movie together because it came on reels. You had to put it together on a big platter and put everything in there, and I had to test it. So I'd invite all my friends over. We'd get a bunch of pizza, and at 2 in the morning, we'd watch the movie before everybody else did. The one thing I never did is I never bootlegged. There were always these people that wanted to bring in some big, junky video camera because, back in 1992, they weren't that great. You didn't have little digital cameras. They go, hey, man, I'll give you $50 if you let me hook it up. I'm like, nah, I don't want to do it. This job's too cake. It's too fun. I had an archery range on the top of one of the movie theaters I was working at. So I'd start the movie, and then I'd go up on the roof, and I had bales of hay that we had lifted up there with a cherry picker, and I'd shoot arrows. I mean, there was a field behind. I mean, the chances, every once in a while, if an arrow went off, I had to go out in the field and look for it, but nobody was ever walking back there. I know you're probably saying, hey, you're not obeying, you know, behind your backstop. Lou's wagging his finger at me. But we'd have fun. I did everything but shoot rifles or handguns up there, but we shot crossbows, bow and arrow, pellet guns. We had a barbecue on the roof. It was great. I loved it. Oh, it's right here. I don't know why your mom's not here yet. It's kind of creepy. Oh, that's probably her right there, telling us she's been kidnapped. Sounds like Seinfeld episodes with Kramer bootlegging a video. Yeah,
actually. I'm on my way.
Good. She's on her way home. Good. But, yeah, that was a great job, except in the dead of winter. People don't realize Colorado, you know, 20 below zero. And I had a mountain bike. And so I'd have to ride my mountain bike to the theater. The town, the whole town, if you made a big loop around the town, it was only 25 miles, Fort Collins. So everything was within distance of a mountain bike, except in extreme cold weather. It just, you know, and I had to break down the movies after the last show. So it'd usually be like Sunday night at 2 in the morning, you know, because they'd run till midnight, and then I'd get there. And then build them up, like, on a Wednesday night so that they could, or if they had a Wednesday premiere. So I was always there late at night by myself. But what I ended up doing was just inviting friends over. We'd do everything weird, from dress up like pirates and beat each other with fake swords to, tell you, it was a great job. Those are what I call the salad days of my life. Those 3 years from when I got off active duty, went National Guard, went to college, they were just great years. I went shooting and fishing. I was in college. I planned my college courses, so between each one I could go play racquetball. And then in the summer when I took a few classes, I'd go fishing. I had one of those little pocket fisherman things. You know, we'd do that. We had a blast. And we'd go fishing on the beaver ponds and stuff between classes. I really exploited my ex-wife during that period. You know, I don't think I ever saw her the whole time. She had a part-time job at the movie theaters too, but she was a manager, so she was there during the day in between classes and at night. We never saw each other. Probably the happiest moment of that marriage was those 3 years that I didn't have to hang around with her. I got into real dangerous off-road driving and rally racing and stuff back then.
Without helmets.
Without helmets. Didn't use helmets. I flipped a few vehicles, you know, but we just had fun, you know. Those were the salad days. I was in great shape. I was about 145, 50 pounds out of the Army. I was in ROTC, you know, got to go shoot really dangerous stuff every one weekend a month. But, you know, I didn't appreciate it when I was there. I look back at it now, and I'm like, yeah, that's how I wish my life was now. But then, right now, I look out my window, and I see our 200-yard shooting position. You know, I get to watch, police show up 45 minutes later for fist fights, you know. So it's great here. The difference is that I don't have everything I want. I have everything I need. Let's see. Kinda White says they found us on YouTube, and he mentioned this site. I just happened to find them when the show was starting yesterday, so I listened in and decided to come back. Well, welcome. I'm glad you did. Tell your friends about the show. Tell your friends. I figure if every new person invites two people, if everybody just invites two people, we're going to be growing. Right now, I was looking at the statistics. We're like ahead of last month. It's not that I'm trying to fill the seats. You get what I'm saying, though? But if only five people were listening, I'd do it. But it's a good marker to show that people are concerned. I mean, sometimes the show is just me, you know, talking gibberish. But other times, it's important stuff. We're getting ready now. We're going to switch over to Liberty Tree Radio. They're going to join us. We're not going to go anywhere. We're going to stay on this outlet also. But Ed Kornke, who's been sending me stuff through Facebook, undoubtedly is dialing in as we speak, and he'll be able to hook us up and get us out. We will be back after the next break on Liberty Tree Radio, so conduct yourselves appropriately. And this is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. The first hour's done, and we're going to be doing another hour. We'll be right back after the break. Thank you for listening. I really appreciate it.
I was in moonland cotton. Old times there are not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixieland, where I was born, early on a frosty morning, look away. away, Dixieland. Oh, I wish I was in Dixie, away, away, in Dixieland. I'll make my stand to live and die in Dixie, away, away, away down south in Dixie, away, away, away down south in Dixie.
Time ago, being crazy meant something. Nowadays, everybody's crazy.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all point bulletins. We'll set roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
Attention.
Government is an emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Patch Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Okay, I'm looking in the chat room and Ed, the AK-47, Ed Theek 47, says I'm up. Good, 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 good. We are... just honored to be on Liberty Tree Radio. This is the second hour of our two-hour show that we do Monday through Friday. And I'm going to say right now there will be no live show tomorrow. I have to go to the Veterans Administration and have them look at my little Achilles tendon issue and tell me if I can take this stupid boot off. I walked around a little bit today with it off. I mean, it's not something I would run on, but I'm tired of this. I got ant bites all over the inside. They crawl up inside it, and I can't get to them. Because it's like 8 straps of Velcro or something, so it's not the greatest thing to get to. And who's this guy talking at you? I'm Dutch Jones. That's me. I'm Dutch Jones.
You?
Me. Well, I'm the current Dutch Jones. There have been many before me, and there will be many after me. Actually, I'm the first one, but I plan on handing it off, just like the Dread Pirate Roberts. If you don't know that movie reference, you missed out on a good movie. But we come to you live Monday through Friday on ubroadcast.com, and Monday, Tuesday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday normally on Liberty Tree Radio, and then they send us out like through the communication network that goes everywhere. So that's why we like it, and we can definitely see the results of that from the email we're getting. We have someone here who just joined the show a couple days ago that's in the chat room that heard it from YouTube. I did an interview for a couple of ladies from the Southern California Martial Law Alerts group, and I was actually blown away. It was about the necessity of going to the border and how militias have a duty to not ignore this call from the people of Arizona to come down and help defend that border. And I didn't think it went really well, but they actually made me look good. I was really impressed. So if you go to YouTube and Google Dutch Jones, you'll see. It'll go up on there. And we plan to go again. The group that we intended to go down with, things didn't work out. So we're going to hook up with the Arizona Citizens Militia. Our advance parties have already made contact. And they're going to be doing like a rolling up from middle of September to November sometime. So it's going to give a really good opportunity. I read some a possible after-action report. I haven't verified it, but it was pretty racy and shots fired, that kind of thing going on down there. So it's a serious thing going on. And I, for one, think if the militias pass this up, they don't deserve to call themselves militias. Period. End of story. And I don't mean that means you have to be there on the border. But if you can support this activity by sending materials, funds, advice, sponsoring someone down there. You know, I remember back in the 80s during the, and this is kind of a loose reference, but I was a heavy reader of Soldier of Fortune magazine from about the age of 12. I used to get it at a local store where I grew up. And you could sponsor freedom fighters in Kampuchea. For those of you in Loma Linda, that's Cambodia. When the Pol Pot regime took over and the Khmer Rouge took over, they were killing, butchering, murdering anybody. They were anybody that was anti-communist, basically anti-tyrant. So we found through Soldier of Fortune you could actually sponsor. Okay, I'm going to repeat it, Ed, after I finish my lovely little story. we sponsored my girlfriend. It was like $25 a month, a freedom fighter. And ever since then, I've just felt this duty to help out where, you know, anything's fighting tyranny or illegal activity, something like that. Well, they're asking that I read it and ask not to repeat it. I've been asked not to repeat it on the air. Yeah, it's the people who sent it to me gave me the go-ahead, but it's like I did it a little reluctantly. It's one of those things when you put it out there and you go, why did I do that? So what I want to do is I want to verify that. It's like somebody sent it to me, said, read this on the air, and I went, oh, okay. We all make mistakes, you know, even I do, especially when I'm suffering in the heat here. But it would be interesting to see if we could hear from the person who generated it. The phone number here is 559-561-8225. 559-561-8225. If you're the person who generated this ACM supposed after-action report for contact on the border that was, I think it was the 13th, please call the show. Send me an email confirming or denying it. We get a lot. It seems like, in fact, I have to say probably 95% of the stuff that people send into this show ends up not being true. It's sent with good intentions. It's sent with the best of meaning. I just had another one today. Somebody hand-carried into me some terrorism stuff that's supposedly going on in our area, and I'm like, we've already checked it out. It's not happening. Somebody felt the need to drive 70 miles up here to get it to me while I was live on the air, and I said, look, we've already looked into it. We don't see this. And what it is that there is a, directly as the crow flies, about 9 miles, it would be northwest of us, there's an old ranch over there that has been reported to be a jihadist training camp. I've been hearing it for 2 years. We keep sending people over there to look, and no, it's a dude ragheads. There's nobody with, you know, ragheads on. There's nobody, all kinds of stuff on there, you know, doing over. It's just regular ranchers. There's no sign. Now, what was there? I heard that there was a charter school there up until about 2 years ago that was an Islamic charter school, and they lost their funding and left. Now, whether or not they were training, you know, jihadists, I don't know. I talked to the locals, and they're like, well, they had a shooting range and an airstrip, and, you know, but we never saw anything really weird out there. Because people say, well, how come they're coming down on you for your shooting range, and on the other side of the mountains there's jihadists? So, of course, I jumped all over it. But there was just nothing to it. In fact, some of the guys from the Exeter Militia went and scoped it out for a whole weekend, they said. They set up on a mountain watching it, and they said, nah, it's just cowboys. You know, good old American cowboys pushing some cattle around, that's about it. So we'll get these things from time to time, and, you know, the person who gave it to me verified that it was good to read, but, you know, when I read it, I said, I can't verify that it's true or not. And it's going to happen. You know, unfortunately. So I think in lessons learned, I'll probably just stay away from that kind of stuff. I think by not sharing stuff like that, I'm probably doing a better service than by sharing what's going on up there. So you can tell the days are getting shorter. Usually this time of day, the sun, you know, it's no shadows. Now I'm seeing shadows out there. It kind of caught me off guard a little bit. But if you want to call on the show, talk about whatever you want, as long as it relates to what we're doing here. You know, if you want to call up with a good recipe for your MREs, you want to call up with a great deal you found somewhere online. Two websites I want to promote today, and I'm sure a lot of the guys already know them, but the one is the Well-Regulated Militia. It's funny, it's like I've been seeing it bounce around, and Ed emailed me something today about some things some truckers are doing, some Patriot truckers, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to check out that site. And I went there and I signed up today, and what I like about it, and what might be a good tool for us to use, is it also has an area for state by state, so I joined the California one. The most common question I get here because of this show, especially from the folks that are listening on you broadcast, because I'm reaching kind of the people that are just getting new into the movement, not the old hardened veterans like on Liberty Tree Radio, but the folks that are just getting involved in it, people that are just being woken up. How do I find somebody in my area? I get it all the time. And I have the same question. It's hard to find people, especially out here in California, but I came on here, boom, state by state, there it is. I also use the AWR, a well-regulated militia. That one's okay, broken up state by state, but I haven't been there for a while. But well-regulatedamericanmilitias.com. Well-regulatedamericanmilitias.com. Go there, check it out if you want to visit me. Oh, I've already got stuff already in my... people. See, they're already sending me stuff. People are being cool. They're welcoming to it. But I see a lot of people. I get emails, you know, hey, I'm in Ridgecrest. Hey, I'm in Central California. I don't know, you know, where can I find somebody? And I know a few people around here. Some people I knew back in the 90s have changed their handles, changed the militia names. They've done a whole bunch of stuff. And so I don't have that deep of contacts. And we have the same problem here. There are militias in Fresno that I know that are there. I've reached out to them. I've met them at militia mixers. Some of this, you know, there was an army surplus place in the area that decided to have a barbecue. And we all went to it, and there were probably 60, 70 people there. I don't know how many different militias were represented from the valley, but only a couple of people were willing to even talk to each other. Everybody kind of got cliquey and stayed in their own little group. Everybody was so afraid. They let fear drive them, you know. They let people tell them what they're going to be doing. So, or let people... see, I said that wrong. People asking, they don't want to answer any questions about what they're doing. But we had like three or four people that wanted to come out. They trained with us once. We haven't seen them again since. We may have scared them off, but you know, that's part of the courtship process. But so you know, so it's well-regulatedamericanmilitias.com, and check that out and sign up and send me a hello. How do you do? The other one was splitsecondsurvival.com. Splitsecondsurvival.com. We watched some of their training videos we got a hold of, and they're mostly on how to defend yourself against knife, handgun, long gun attack. Very.
He has handgun.
What?
He has a handgun too.
He does. He has a bunch of stuff, but it's real basic and direct. No martial arts. He goes, people, you know, he says, I can't name it. It's just you have 1 second to do something, and you're gonna die. And he goes through how to disarm and use the enemy's weapon against him. And all of it is dealing with multiple attackers. It's never just one-on-one. He says what most of these systems teach is that you're just dealing with one attacker. But in reality, usually they got backup there when they're committing it. This is more crime-oriented than militia-oriented. You know, you decided to go down the wrong alley. You're in the wrong parking lot after dark. And how to remove the threat. And I liked it. It was, you know, I didn't agree with him on everything. I think that locks and bone breaks and joint breaks and things like that do work. He was completely against him. He says, don't practice all this Hollywood stuff. Just remove the weapon, you know, avoid the weapon and go to the head, kill the head, and it stops everything. Because the most dangerous thing in a fight is not the weapon, it's the person controlling the weapon. And that kind of goes back to every class I've taken. They're always saying your best weapon is what? And they always point to their head. You know, everybody else grabs their pistol on their belt or their knife or something. It's like, no, the weapon in your head. So it's interesting. There we go. Well, oh, you haven't. You got. Well, you guys kind of. I don't know if you guys do a militia mixer up there, Ed, but it's kind of like the equivalent of everybody showing up at a restaurant or something and just, you know. Usually what ends. We've only done one like that up there. We've done them here, and we've had a handful of people show up. You know, we get something to eat. We show them the shooting range. We show them our facility and say, hey, we're here to do some joint training, and that's it. But the one we went to was really good. They had a wild boar they roasted, a wild turkey, hamburgers, hot dogs. We showed a video, a recruiting video that we put together to kind of get people interested. But it was 2 weeks after the Hutari atrocities, and people just had this weird mindset there. And I think that if honestly, if there hadn't been, you know, if they hadn't gone around and arrested those Hutari folks, I think there would have been more people there and they would have been more willing to talk. Hey, Stacy's online across the street. Welcome home, baby. Unless, yeah, she had to have signed in as herself. She didn't sign in as me, so that's her. Or somebody impersonating her. But I think they're good ideas, but people don't want to do them. We've got, there's Colonial Marines in our area. There's all kinds of militias around here, but people are just afraid to get together and talk if they don't know you. So I tell people, like, you know, because like I said at the beginning of this thought process we're going through here, people are going, how do I join a militia? Some people, I say, well, it's probably too late to join a militia. Why not start a militia? And I'll send them, especially here in California, I'll send them the information pack. I'll send them the copy of the veterans and military codes for California that allows for a militia. I'll send them, you know, links to everything they could possibly do. I'll have people, they're sending me links now to stuff that say that there, you know, this law in California that says any two people wearing camouflage for paramilitary training is against the law. I can't find that anywhere, but people keep sending it to me, so I got to research that one too. I got two of them today. Okay, we're playing paintball. We're not paramilitary training. Okay, we're playing airsoft. Oh, this isn't paramilitary. This is home. This is a firearm defense class. That's it. You know, you just got to. Words have meaning. If they wanted to cast a narrow law and have that law in there that says paramilitary training, I'm not paramilitary. I'm militia. There's a complete difference between paramilitary. I know that 2 years ago they went after them, and if I say this wrong, I don't want to offend anybody, but in our area, there's a large group of people called the Hmong, and I don't know if that's the proper way to pronounce it. I don't know any people that are Hmong, but I see them on the news all the time. And they had their own militia up here, but it wasn't to do anything with the United States. They were going to go over to Laos and overthrow the government and start a Hmong nation or something.
Hmong.
It's Hmong? H-M-O-N-G, isn't it, Lou?
Yeah.
So we don't know how you pronounce it. But they had guys in the Highway Patrol, the California National Guard, that got arrested. I don't know what happened to it. It kind of went away. But they tried to buy a boatload of AK-47s from an FBI informant. At least that's what the news says. So they went after them as being this militia, and it violated an act called the Bolin Act, which is a federal law. Last time I heard about it was in the 80s when the Iran-Contra thing went on. The Bolin Amendment said that you couldn't train to overthrow foreign governments on U.S. soil or assassinate foreign leaders. I mean, it was a stupid thing to do. I think it was passed under the Carter administration. But they brought that up in this case. So, I mean, if you're doing paramilitary, we're doing militia stuff. The sheriff comes up here every time we train and says, hey, guess what? We got a bunch of calls. Yeah, we know. There's nothing you can do about it. The sheriff deputy, I was telling the story about the guy that got mugged in line of sight from our studio right here. And he clobbered the two members of our militia came out and slaughtered them and all that kind of stuff. You know, helped him subdue him, didn't slaughter him, subdued him. And waited 45 minutes for the police to show up. And then these idiot kids are making comments like, we're going to get you, we're going to kill you. And the sheriff looked at him and said something along the lines of, and this is a first-hand report, I can verify this, says, why'd you go and say that, guys? He goes, now, if you do show up on his property and he shoots you, I can't do anything about it because you're making threats to him. And it's going to go in the report. So, but the key thing to remember in that whole incident that happened here Monday, folks, is it took 45 minutes for a sheriff deputy to show up, and neighbors came out and helped the man. He was fighting four of them off, is one report I got. Two is the other one. The guy who tells the story says it was four, but you know how we are. I think it was two. But they hit him in the head with a vodka bottle and went to town on him. One was a white kid, and one was a Mexican kid, teenager. So from the town down the hill, Woodlake, they said they didn't have any gang ties. They were just up here looking for trouble. So it's sad in these days that we need it, but I think we need the militia more now than ever. Not since the American Revolution, the War of Federal Aggression, you know, do we need militias. And not just for military or hostile, you know, combat. We had somebody up here who just, you know, for the typical financial reasons didn't have a place to live. So we showed up, moved that person into a property that we have here, and that's what happens. We need to stick together. If we don't stick together, it's all going to fall apart. I was looking at the forum there at Regulated American Militias. Did I get that right? I think that was it. Oh, it's right here. And there was a big thing in there about people being in the militias, not letting other people in because, you know, oh, we don't like because they're women, their physical abilities. And I was talking about a little last hour, but I got off of it. handicapped folks. I can tell you right now, and I consider myself one of them, I'm a gimp. I got this big boot on my foot. I got a bad back. I got pins in my knees. I got pins in my spine. And I tell you guys that I'm very humble and honest about my abilities. There is a need for everybody that's willing. If you have a willing heart, I don't care if you're 80 years old or if you're in a wheelchair, there is something that can be done. There is a task that can be assigned. As long as that person is humbled and doesn't think, well, I want to go and do all the advanced training that all the guys do, the long-range rifle shooting and the entry tactics that you guys train. I saw the training videos. You guys train like SWAT, and I want to do that. You're in a wheelchair. You know, you can play a role in that and be a hostage or be a hostage taker, but you've got to be very realistic about your needs. But there is a place for them. Medical. We have such a need for medical right now because we just had two nurses leave, and we've got one nurse now, maybe one and a half nurse. The other one's kind of coming half time. We've got a dentist, who's basically a doctor. There's some place for everybody. We've got these two 80-year-old guys that have, they're hunters, and they've done that Grand Slam thing where they go around and they hunt all the big game on every continent. They're like little Jeff Coopers. They know everything about every gun. They know, I think one of them fought in World War II in Korea, and one of them fought in Korea. The fire is still in their heart, and you can see it in their eye, even though their hand may shake. They are of use. They have value, if not only because they are children of God, but because they can propel this militia in training. I'm constantly picking their brains. Especially, if you have a question about loading, what rounds to use, what actually works on a Chinese guy padded with all his cold weather gear, he'll tell you. One brother's quieter than the other, but the knowledge is there. We've got Fred Bader, and he doesn't mind me using his name. This guy's 80-something years old. He is just an amazing wealth of knowledge of history, the Constitution, the Declaration, the law. When I had my little scuff with the law when they had the wrong guy, I took him with me. They took one look at him, and they were like, uh-oh, he brought that guy in, because he's always hounding him. He's always there. We had an incident in the county next to us where the attorney general, the district attorney's son was arrested for rape, and they kept putting it off and putting it off. They wouldn't arraign him. They were hassling the witnesses. They were hassling the victim. Well, he actually filed papers, and I don't know enough about the legal stuff, where he demanded that the trial go through. As a citizen, he just went in and he stood there in court every day and filed them every day with the clerk until finally they proceeded. They were trying to brush it under the rug, as the good old boy system usually works in these underpopulated counties out here in Central California. Everybody has a value. I'm sure I have some value. I haven't quite figured it out yet. I'm talking post-collapse. Sure, I can do this. I have the gift of gab, and between Lou and I, we can get stuff up on the internet. We can, produce videos, things like that. I can train people and do different things, but, I have a purpose. I'm just not sure where the Lord wants me. I have too many general skills. I'm not an expert in anything. Somebody comes along that's better at handling the radio station, boom, let them have it. I'll move on to something else. If it's up to me to make sure the pigs, are fed and that the boll weevils stay out of the cotton, then that's what I'm going to do. I'm not in this for the glory of myself. And we can't be that way. Every once in a while I get a listener, who comes and listens for two or three days, and he's all gung-ho. I got one yesterday or today that sent me an email. He goes, "You're not teaching me anything that I need to know how to defend myself and my home under the Constitution of the United States." And I was like, wow, that's kind of an amazing statement. Where in the Constitution does it deal with you defending yourself in your home, in the federal Constitution? I go, state constitutions deal with that. I don't know if he was coming here looking for formulas for making, improvised weapons or what, but that's not what this show is about. My goal is to try and get people to figure out what they want to do and help give them the energy and the drive to do it. And get people to work together. My biggest thing is maybe just being a counselor. We got so many different personalities. We'll have a training here. And, guys will get on this one topic. Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. I do. And I usually end up, I'm the guy I ended up having to either tell them to shut up and sit down or make a joke out of it and smooth it out. Maybe that's what I'm going to do. But the key thing is we have to get along. As families, my wife and my son, because they're here 24, well, Stacy works, but, and if it wasn't for that, we'd be in big trouble. We have to work as a team together. And it's sad because we've got some good militia guys here whose wives don't even come up, don't even attend the church. And they want nothing to do with it. And I really feel for those folks that their families are different, diametrically opposed. And I go, what's going to happen when the crash happens? She's going to show up. She's not going to be integrated. She's not going to have any, because we'll let her show up. I mean, we're not going to be tyrants about it. We're not going to say, hey, you know, you can't bring your wife. But how do you integrate her into the system when she's not participated? You know, it's hard. And you extend that into the community. If neighbors aren't talking to neighbors, oh, there you are. Hello. I saw you on here. I didn't know where you were. Welcome home. Debbie's with her mom doing stuff today. So, yeah, so we were just, she was doing her thing. Vince came up for a little bit and left. But that was about it. So, but it's key that we will get nothing done unless we learn to work together. And we're not going to learn to work together unless we're willing to reach out and talk to one another. I envy, when I listen to the intelligence report, and usually we hear it on delay because it's on right now while we're talking on our FM station. So I'll listen to it Saturday and Sunday, and then I'll listen to the other ones at night, you know, while I can. And I'm like, wow, just listen to how well they got it together. You know, he's calling out units coming up for training, this stuff. For us to put together, okay, tomorrow we're having a training. We were going to take 11 or 12 people to defensive firearm training in Corscol, California. The link is on our website, dutchjones.tk. Check it out. And as of last night, almost every 5 people have already dropped out, so it's going to be 6 people. And we've reserved the range, we've reserved the instructor, and it's $100, 300 rounds of ammunition, to go through a 50-acre course with reactive targets. It's like a giant outdoor shoot house. Training you're not going to find in a lot of places, done by instructors who have actually fought and bled in war. This isn't just some guy who goes, yeah, I've learned the best technique ever. I was a police officer for 15 years. Have you ever been in combat? No. Have you ever actually stabbed anybody? No. But you're teaching a knife class? Yes. I'm not saying that you have to have been there to teach it. I mean, you know, otherwise, you know, nobody'd ever learn to go to the moon or something, right? Oh, don't start on we never went to the moon. I don't want to do that story. So they're going to go to this training with only 6 people tomorrow. I'm not going because I injured a foot, but I never intended to go. I've already had the class. And it's only open to advanced people anyway, so that kind of narrows it a little bit. But just trying to get people to take the basic pistol and rifle class is like pulling teeth. They want to be part of the militia. They want to wear the uniform. They want to hump a ruck around for a week in the field here and go, yeah, I'm militia. Say, okay, well, we have a 3-day weekend coming up. We're going to do, we want you to sacrifice it and come do training. We'll bring in an instructor. And we're going to do orienteering. And what's that mean? Well, we're going to use a compass and a map, and you're going to learn to navigate. Well, I got GPS. Okay, that's good, and we'll maybe do a class on that later, but we want to use compass and map. Oh, and then nobody will sign up for it. I'll go, let's teach, you know, I'll hold a class on, this Sunday is going to be field hygiene. And I guarantee you we're going to have a lower turnout. Usually, because I advertise it on the radio show, I tell people in different forums, it's open to the public. You come at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning, go through church with us, have chow with us, and then we do the class. And when it's something like search and rescue or firearms training, you know, we're going to do an introductory class. People show up because, hey, that's fun, that's exciting, that's militia. But when I'm going to teach you how to wipe your butt and keep your feet dry and be the best little soldier you can be and not take yourself out of the fight due to disease or infection, they don't want to show up for that. They don't want to do all of it. Being in the militia is a responsibility as well as a calling and a right. You know, everybody wants the Second Amendment rights, but they don't want the Second Amendment responsibilities. And it's tough, and I don't mean to lament on this, but it goes into, you know, my the way I feel about this Arizona issue. Everybody needs to respond to that however they can. We'll be back after the break, and I promise not to release any more unverified intel. I guess nobody's going to call and verify it. So we'll be back.
The talking heads, the daily press, they cultivate stupidity and harvest ignorance. They point a crooked finger and they're all unanimous by calling me extremist because I'm down on Zionists. So now I want to sing a new song. I want to be an extremist. I want to join a militia and we're camouflaged. I want to be an extremist and run around and sing a rabble-rousing rebel song and sympathize with the skinnies.
It was the Jews who did the Germans wrong. I want to be an extremist. I want to get the job done. Now what's so bad about being extreme? If I'm extremely innocent, if I'm extremely keen, if I'm extremely paranoid, it's cause of what I've seen. It's written in between the lines of every magazine. The FBI, the CIA, are working for the KGB and getting in my way. Cause they don't like my politics, they dog me every day. I'm getting tired of telling them the problem is oy vey. The enemy is communism. I want to be an extremist. I want to join a militia and wear camouflage. I want to be an extremist and run around and sing a rabble-rousing rebel song and sympathize with the skinheads who realize it was the Jews who did the Germans wrong. I want to be an extremist.
I just want to get the job done.
Wants to know the truth, but all he gets is phony news. His state of mind is captured by the mob's opposing views. His only guarantee is that he's sure to be amused. Some may win, but most will lose. Their lives are only figments of the thoughts they cannot choose. And I doubt you'll ever see me on the 6 o'clock news, exposing lying, thieving, cheating communists. Who made me sing you this song? I want to be an extremist. I want to join a militia and wear camouflage. I want to be an extremist and run around and sing a rabble-rousing rebel song and sympathize with the skinheads who realize it was the Jews who did the Germans wrong. I want to be an extremist. I want to get the job done. I want to be an extremist. And I just want to have fun.
Cha-cha-cha.
So you've enlisted in the Union Army. Someone throws a uniform on you, sticks a gun in your hand, teaches you to march, and then sends you to war. Well, that's what it was like during the Civil War, where soldiers trained for as little as 3 weeks before they were thrown into battle against each other.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points, bum. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order.
A new world order.
A new
attention.
World order.
A new world order.
Attention.
The
government is this an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations,
the gas
stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Pat's Jazz
Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
We're back. Today is the... What is today? Today is the 15th of July, 2010. In this current episode, remember there will be no show tomorrow that's live. They'll be just probably repeat this one or go to you broadcast and pick the one of your choice, you know, and replay any one of them. And because I'm going to be gone on a medical appointment, Lou's going to be gone for training, so I figured it's going to be fun on the bun. Is that what you just said, Lou? Where is that something they're saying on the streets now? Are you picking it up from your little hoodle dude friends? Fun on the bun? Weird. Anyway, we're back. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program coming to you from the church at Kauai. And I want to thank you guys for RSVPing and telling them that you heard it on Liberty Tree Radio and first you broadcast stream. Excuse me, I almost said the old radio network that I was on that I left. I still haven't got it out of my head. It's weird. It's like answering the phone for Pizza Hut when I used to work there. Every once in a while, you know, thank you for calling Pizza Hut, and it's like, where did that come from? So I want to thank you guys for contacting the Church of Kauai, telling them you're going to be coming to our 15th annual Old Paths Conference on October 2nd and 3rd, that first weekend in October, where we're going to have Peter Hammond,
John Weaver,
and Chuck Baldwin, and Peter Hammond again, and Peter Hammond's going to be talking about the Islamo-fascist threat in the world that's out there, and specifically how he's fighting them in Africa and what's going to happen in America. He's been from the height of the he was born in Rhodesia, I think. He's a British citizen, but he was born in Rhodesia, raised in that area, and he's seen what Islam and communism has done to that location. He saw, you know, after apartheid, just how everything went downhill from there and just the horrors. He's going to share that with us, and then he's going to share what he sees happening in America and how we're headed the same path and that kind of stuff. And then John Weaver, of course, great Confederate. You know, he's always got some great sermons that deal with federal aggression and great history. He'll talk about different generals. And my favorite one was when he talked about Bushwack Johnston, the pastor, who fought long after the surrender of Lee's army. Chuck Baldwin, of course. I mean, number one on the Southern Poverty Law Center's Most Dangerous People in America list, and he's going to be here. Pastor Warren Mark Campbell, if you've been listening to me telling you to go to the archives and listen to him, specifically his July 4th sermon, then you'll see why I stay at this church and why everybody flocks here. We're expecting between 275 to 300 people. You can come when you RSVP, you get all the information sent to you. And you can do that by going to the church's website, which is on our website, dutchjones.tk. And you'll see church, there. Or you can email lausdeo, that's lausdeo, at cwo.com. That's lausdeo at cwo.com. And tell them you want conference information for October, and they'll send you a little packet out. If you're bringing an RV, I mean, we're right here, right at the front gates of Sequoia National Park. Take a week off, man. It's a great time of year to come here. It'll rain in the evening sometimes, nice and cool. Check out the redwoods, come here for the first week, two days, three days. Shoot with us on a Monday or something, and then go explore the park. There's hotels and stuff like that we can tell you about. Some of them give you like a $20 discount if you tell them you're here for the conference, but you'll get all that later. But I don't know if we're going to have Magic Serbiak do his... he does these demonstrations up on the range, dynamic entry, and, he gives classes. One year he gave a class on what kind of weapons you need to defend your home. This is for a complete entry-level person, not somebody that's had any training at all, but it's great for get your wives and kids up there. He's fun. A little hard to understand the accent, but it's great. And we have chow on Saturday and Sunday for you, lasagna, salad. There's great restaurants in the area, but I really, if you're going to come camp here, you get the full experience of you'll see all the RVs, tent campers, people just throwing down a tarp, guys coming up here and staying in their van every year for the last 6 or 7 years, father and son. It's a wonderful experience. I mean, this will be my fourth or fifth one, and I am really looking forward to it. And I can't explain the feeling of seeing a whole building just filled. And you know at least 99% of them are like-minded. There's probably 1% that are just here checking us out. And you'll see a real cross-section of America there. You know, we got blacks, whites, Asians, Hispanics. You know, I love it. People always say that we're a racist, redneck church. Well, they don't come here. They don't see who's in the melting pot. We have two ladies right now that are trying to get their citizenship. They're Christian refugees from China, and our pastor's testifying for them and stuff. They came here legally on visas. Now they want to stay, as you know, as refugee status. And they're coming to our church. How is that a redneck racist church? Our missionary is in Africa. He's reaching out to the tribes out there and converting them. He's converting Muslims. We have another missionary that's up in the Gulf of Aden who comes back every once in a while that we support. He's an older man. And he's over there converting Muslims, a very dangerous position to be in. So we do what we can, and we really want to share our hospitality with you, our beautiful property that's here that God has given us, the ranch. There'll be showers and kitchen facilities available if you're roughing it. There's no electrical hookups or any sewer or anything like that if you bring your RV, but there are places around here where you can do that. Right down the road is a campground that has everything. They even have Wi-Fi. It's kind of weird to me. You go camping and you still have Wi-Fi, but that can be done. So it'll be good. It'll be great if you could show up and say, "Hey, I heard it on the show. You're Dutch. You're much fatter than you look on the internet, on the video." Yeah. Actually, I get people to go, "You look younger on the internet." And I'm like, "Really?
You look younger on the radio."
Yeah, I look younger on the radio. I love that one. Yeah, but the people who see the video,
yeah, it's a little.
I had somebody ask me yesterday, they're like, "How old are you?" And I go, "Why?" And they go, "I'm just curious." I go, "I'm 45." And they go, "Huh?" And I go, "Is that a good or a bad thing?" "No, I just thought you were a different age." And they wouldn't tell me they thought I was younger or older. There was a time when people thought I was younger, and they thought I was full of BS when I told them I had, term in the military, term with fire, term with police. They go, "There's no way, you're too young." And I was like, "Yeah, you know, I'd rather be, you know, that than, man, you're awfully old and you haven't done anything with your life." At least I put that in there. Let's see, he can go to the chat room is funny. Somebody asked how the move is going. I don't know. We're in the middle of it. There's only so much we can move. Our vehicles, three vehicles that I have here, we don't have enough money to put gas in them. We're putting money in the gas needed vehicle because Stacy's using it for work. And was there any mail?
Oh, yeah.
Something from the VA telling me I'm going to be fired again and shot out of a cannon or something?
Probably.
Okay, cool. I can't wait to look at it. But yeah, the move, you know, we've got a ton of stuff. We still have all of our food to move, and we have a lot of food, a lot of canned goods. There's a lot of stuff in that room. We got to move our bed over. I'm sleeping on the floor right now, and it's actually doing my back good. My back hurts from moving stuff, but I wake up in the morning, I feel a little better just sleeping on the hard floor. Maybe we should just stay on the floor and put the mattress up against the wall and bounce off of it for fun once in a while, but leave the backpack or leave the sleeping bags on the floor. So you're getting a little disoriented here because of the heat. Let me drink some water. Stay hydrated. My leg cramps came back. That's what caused my Achilles tendon. It's freaking me out. I think it's because I'm not drinking enough water.
I got one last
night. Yeah, it was pretty stupid of me to be moving stuff with my bum foot, but what are you going to do? Everybody's away. You know, I'm here. This is why I'm recruiting people to move into the area so you can help me move. I need more Christian brothers. You know, everybody's got a day job here except for me right now because of my foot. But to be honest with you, the job that we had would have been miserable right now, whacking weeds out there in 105-degree heat. I'd probably drop dead from a heart attack. So I invited Rocky Hill to come up Saturday and help us move stuff. So we'll see if he'll be able to do that. That might help. See if we can borrow the pastor's pickup and get it all in a couple moves. And then we got to, what I hate about moving? Once you move, then you got to find everything again. It's like you settle into a certain level of clutter, at least I know I do, where I know where things are. They may not be where they're supposed to be, but I know where they are. Now it's like I was looking for a pair of suspenders for my pistol belt today, and I'm like, I know I saw them. I know I had them, my pair of brown ones. I don't know where they went. Stuff like that. But it's kind of fun when you dig it and you go, hey, I didn't know I had this. I didn't know I had that. So because my way is like I told you guys yesterday, that we're listening to the non-Liberty Tree Radio side, because we didn't jump over on Tuesday. I just sell everything or give it away when I move, and that's why I have nothing now. Or usually God will destroy it for me in a forest fire or something. Time to move, DJ, move on. So that's what I do. But moving is not something I enjoy. And it doesn't matter if you're moving 100 miles or 300 feet like we are. We do have some good news. There is a guy who works for the people who make the cell phone towers. And he's telling us that for about $800, he can get us a large tower within county code, of course, even though we feel we're not subject to it, but we don't want to bring undue attention. And he says that he can get them to put in a T1 line, because that's what they do, it's a communication company, into our building. And we would have broadband 24 hours a day, and he said it would cost $800 to set it up, and it would cost $800 a month. There would be a fee to set it up, which would be higher, a couple $1,000s, but it would be $800 a month. I said, well, that's good. And the pastor said, well, that's great, but we don't have $800 a month. He said, no, if you let me do that and then put antennas on your tower and use it for other communication purposes, you could have use of the DSL for free. So I was like, that sounds like a cool deal. So what I'm asking you guys to do is pray that this guy isn't just blowing smoke. I've got about an 85% ratio of people telling me what they're going to do for me and not coming through with it. I don't even get excited now when people come to me with really good stories. Even when people are telling me they're going to swap me something, I wait until I have it in my hands. I've got one tomorrow, but pray for this guy to come through. He works for a major government contractor, so maybe they're just trying to set us up, but that's okay. We're not doing anything illegal. I actually worked for him for one day, and I got fired. I don't want to say what I did. Yeah, it's that same company, Stace. I'm embarrassed to even be seen by him because I did something just really stupid. But to my defense, it was when I was in a diabetic near coma that I did it. I put regular fuel in a diesel truck. I was hired maybe a half a day, and they had to clean out the whole truck. And yeah, and they were mad. They were really mad at me. I don't blame them. It was stupid. It was probably the dumbest thing I ever did on the job. It was because I wasn't paying attention to my sugar. I wasn't taking care of it. I was excited about having a job that wasn't cleaning toilets, because that's what I was doing before. But anyway, if we could get that tower up there, that would be good. So pray for that. Now tomorrow, I had a lady make contact with me. She heard that I need CB communication stuff. She rehabs foreclosed homes. Strips them out and does. So she's got a house where a guy was some kind of ham operator or something, and she said tomorrow morning I can go down there and I can have whatever I want. They're just going to throw it away. They're going to donate it to me. So what I want to do is Dutchie Lou ISP. I like that. So pray for that's legitimate, that I go down there and even if it's just a couple CB antennas, it's on the way to the VA. It's worth it. So for those of you that don't know about it, I find a lot of our gear. In fact, most of our stuff that we use for communications on what's called Free Cycle on Yahoo Groups. And I don't know if you're familiar. I know there's a Liberty Tree Radio Yahoo group. So if you're already a member of that, type in Free Cycle, one word, and then space it and put the name of the biggest city near you. And I post about every 3 months, I post looking for communications equipment, looking for bicycles, looking for, what are some of the things we've got on there? I mean, you can't even imagine. 55-gallon drums. There's a guy up there, and people will post what they want someone to come and get. And the rule is it can't be junk, and if you get it, you're not supposed to, open up a swap meet and resell it. And I haven't resold anything that I've gotten. I don't know how they would even monitor that. But the Free Cycle on Yahoo, I'm doing the one for Visalia, and Visalia Tulare, because they're kind of connected, the two towns. I've gotten ham radios. I've gotten two. I can't even tell you all the stuff I've gotten. I got a shortwave transmitter that heats up, warms up, but I got to bring it to my new radio guy at flashelectronic.net. 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 There's no S on that. And tell him you heard about him on Dutch Jones, because he gives us a huge discount for you guys calling him and setting, getting stuff from him. I'm not even sure what they're talking about here. Yeah, they probably want to put a camera on the tower. Well, we actually got a camera. Rocky Hill rounded up a camera somewhere. We're going to put up our first camera on the property just because we've been having so many people sneak in and around here, and because the location that I'm moving to, I can't see the church. So we're going to mount that up on a corner of the research center and run some wire maybe to a transmitter that I found, the thing that transmits on Channel 3. put an antenna on it and see what we can do. You know, why not? We'll just see how far it'll go, and if people around, everybody lives on the property, can just tune their TV to channel 3, because nobody up here has any, you know, you can't get TV reception up here, and nobody can afford the satellite or anything, so we'll be able to see what's going on. So things like that. I don't know where Rocky Hill got that camera for all I know. He tore it off a mall somewhere. But it's one of those big ones in the case. It's got the remote control. It doesn't have the remote control with it, but it's got the servo so you can zoom and all that stuff. I'll have to rig something up to do that. But use stuff. Don't ignore it. Don't shun. I've got I think Lou brought it over. I had a CB over here that was like a 18-channel CB or something like that. It has crystals in it. We're gonna set it up. We're gonna put it. There's a young woman who just moved into our old spot. I'm going to give her a CB and an antenna, and that way if she has trouble, she can, because we can just leave them on 24 hours a day. I have mine hooked up. I'm going to have them hooked up. I've got the setup for it to a solar-powered, solar-charged car battery. I'd check it every day. Get on, good morning, how's everybody doing? Like at 9 a.m., we do a radio check. Before we go to bed at 9 p.m., hey, how's everybody doing? Radio check, and everybody can check in on CBs. And people are giving them to us, giving them away. And I don't even know the possibilities of what you can do if you peek them and tweak them. We've got two base stations that people have given to us. One right now is at the repair shop, and he's going to crank it up so he says he can make it put out 45 watts. Now, I know that's nothing, but where we are in the big bowl, that'll get everything we need. So it's amazing what we can do with very little expenditure. And like I said, when I sit here and I listen to how great stuff's going on up in Michigan with the stuff, but you know how they started? They started just one step at a time like we are. Now, we've been around a long time, but it's always maintained this kind of static small group. Now it's getting bigger. We went from 50 to 250, so that's five times our power. Actually, more than that, it was 40 watts, and we're at 250, 260 watts now. I got people going, hey, I can hear it all the way down to the swimming holes of the lake, which is great. Because then we can go down there, we're in the middle of the night, we can stick flyers in the restrooms, listen to 93.3, Patriot Radio, tune in at 5 p.m. every day to hear the intelligence report, because we run them all. I don't know, what is it, 5 hours now of intelligence reports? Yeah. 5 or 6 hours?
He does six when we run
five. Yeah, we run everything of it, and then, once I find the time, I'll start doing a local show. We'll do exactly what we can do with what we have and just push the peak. But that's only because somebody donated some money. I think the cost to get us up that high now was $400, $200, that's $600. So for about $800, we went from 40 watts to 260 watts. And we have the potential to go all the way to 400 when it cools off. It's just too hot right now. And no matter how many fans I put on it, this is what a tech told me, I'm just going to be pushing around ambient air temperature. It's all FM. FM. You hear Ed Kornke talk about it all the time. You guys could be doing this. You go to Ramsey. In fact, I need to ask Ed. My pastor has asked how much he would charge to make us another 25, a variable power low watt FM. Because the guy we're going to takes too long, way too long. And it would be good if we could, if you guys even do that at Liberty Tree, if that's something you thought of. We just sent you the money and you put together one of those Ramsey kits for us, because what we really need are like two or three 25-watt or even AM, and that's a question I have. Why isn't anybody doing AM? Is it just too crammed on the bandwidth there, on the dial? AM up here would probably go farther. The FM bounces. People say FM doesn't bounce, but it does. It goes all over, and we're in like a weird maze here with the mountains, as you can imagine. And people are getting signals from us that they shouldn't be. Who kicked out? Did you kick out Batfag?
No.
I wonder how that happened. That's pretty weird.
Yeah.
But we want to work more on that. If we could get somebody to pick up 93.3 at the edge of town and retransmit it on 88.7 or 88.8, with 20 watts even, just to get the next chunk of houses, because it's like little communities here. Little communities all over, we get more coverage. Because we see the stickers. We see people with anti-Obongo stickers. We see people with Don't Tread On Me stickers that have no idea who we are. Because they come up here for the weekend, they buy some beer, they go inner tubing. But if we could reach them and get them listening, and listening to the feed here on the internet, and listen to Liberty Tree Radio. Because we're not going to try and reinvent anything. We're not going to make our own radio network. But if we could just take Liberty Tree Radio and transmit it 24 hours a day in every different direction we could, think of the impact it'll have. We got one new listener here today. Where is she? Or did she leave already?
She's
in there, and I don't see her. It's kind of weird. I've got like, I can't tell how many people are in here right now. Okay. Anyway, who heard about it on YouTube? You don't know where they're going to find out about this show. And the more people that we can get to get turned on to the intelligence report, get turned on to the militia movement. What are you looking for, baby?
Just seeing the time.
Oh, the time. We only got like 6 minutes. We're going to go shoot. You're shooting that pistol. You're going to be the first one to shoot it.
Okay.
In case it blows up, we want you to be... No, I'm just kidding.
Hey.
In case there's any defect in it, you have to be the first... Every new pistol has to be shot by Stacy. Okay? Is there ammo in here, or do you need to go get ammo over there?
I gotta go get...
Well, you got ammo on the... We got ammo everywhere. You got ammo on the fridge.
I...
Or did you already take it over?
My gun.
Oh, you're not wearing your weapon?
No.
Oh, that's 25 push-ups. Even Lou's got a pistol in here.
Somewhere.
It's right here. The Ruger. And I got mine right here. So, 25 push-ups. Or a back rub. Maybe you got to give me a back. Okay, rub my hip.
You need to rub my back.
Yeah, I know. You've been working all day humping the man's mail. Again, any of my names pop up in the district attorney's mail or sheriff's mail? Good. Good. It's nice to have somebody on the inside. Yeah, there's 22 ammo everywhere. I got two boxes of it. I got two cases right here. Yeah, there's some right here. You want to shoot subsonic? She just wants to shoot. We gotta test fire the pistol and get Lou checked out before he's used to using my 45, but I just can't. 300 rounds of 45, I just can't expend them for training. I think, 22 though, all day long, man. Cinco de ammo. You guys remember that, huh? I'm surprised you guys remember anything. Of course, you guys have a better memory than I do. But I'm kind of dropping off here. I'm kind of forgetting. I need to go check my see what's going on. I've been eating weird lately. Can't live on cheese quesadillas. On her back. It would be mean if I sat on her back. 230 pounds on her back would be kind of cruel. I don't even think my drill sergeants weighed that much. They only put their foot on my back. What?
Probably 250.
I'm not 250 now. I'm back to my fighting weight.
250.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah.
You couldn't fight a baby day.
I had you crying uncle on the floor today. More than once.
Because I wanted to make you feel
You
better.
Wanted to make... Okay, from now on, uncle doesn't count. I just keep twisting the arm and taking the knife away. Yeah. I bought a case of shotgun shells. Buy what you can. Buy everything you can when you can. If you don't even have a weapon to shoot it and it's there, you can trade it. We had somebody up here. She's not with us anymore. She was a loudmouth lady who just didn't like the way we did things. Is that a cat?
Yeah.
It's ammo?
Yeah.
Oh, you were fondling it like you were holding a cat. What do you got, like 6,000 rounds of ammo right there? Okay. Where was that stashed?
My ammo on the refrigerator.
It's on there, yeah. Go.
I'm
going to
take it over across the street.
Yeah, we got to get these ammos over here, out of here, too.
I'm the ammo lady.
Yeah. It looked like you were petting a cat. You were petting your ammo.
No, he's over in the house.
Okay. Well, it's funny, the cat's name is Ammo, too. So I guess either way, you're petting ammo cartridges or ammo the cat. Because when you came down that dark hall, it looked like you were petting a cat in your hand. So we had this lady up here. She has a 257 Roberts. That's her main battle rifle. I don't know the quality of the round. I don't know the benefits of the round. I don't know how cool the rifle is. She never showed up for training. She would just talk and complain about everything. And she finally left because she couldn't stand me. But 257 Roberts, every time we saw it, we bought it because you know why? She'd buy it from us. Or, if we had it, we'd trade her for it, But 22s, we were just buying 22 rounds. Like, Matt, after we read Patriots and people were buying stuff with 22 rounds, I'll sell you those shoes for 17, 18, 20. What do you got? And silver dimes. So we don't come across too many silver dimes. Although I think I spent a bunch of dimes the other day to get a pound of hamburger because we needed to get something to eat. And I used up our coins and I realized, hey, I didn't go through those dimes. I've been really breaking a lot of my own rules lately. Maybe it's the heat. Well, I ask you guys forgiveness for releasing some unverified data, some unverified after-action reports. We all make mistakes. I shouldn't have read it cold. I can't do that anymore. It's in the news. I'm not a cold reader. I'm a hot reader. Well, we'll be back Monday, tomorrow, no show. They'll repeat it. Pray for my foot. Pray for the tower. Pray for everything that we ask you to. Go to dutchjones.tk. Give us a hand there if you can financially. Go to djstore.tk. No, we don't sell Claymore mines like somebody complained. But we do have survival gear and surplus gear. And we also sell Voodoo Tactical stuff if you want new stuff. So, folks, God bless you and all you do in the Holy Cause of Liberty. Thank you for giving me 2 hours of your life. I hope you learned something, because I know I do. I learn something every time I read what you guys are doing. And remember, there is no king but King Jesus. God bless you and all you do in the Holy Cause of Liberty. Oh,